Welcome back to another episode of RMV.
Hey guys, I hope you're all having a great day. And today we have Nicole Cornell here with us for today's episode. Nicole is an educational therapist and a mentor. She designs unique educational experiences and support programs for children who learn outside the box. She's also the creator of the Girls Shine Bright Teen Circle. And fun fact, she was also my teacher in elementary school a long time ago at One Roll Montessori. So hi, Nicole. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we wanted to start off by talking about your job. So you're an educational therapist. So what does that mean?
Well, how I define it is that I'm like a personal learning fairy godmother, and I help kids with their tricky areas in school and just help them get through school. That's not the technical definition of my job. If you Googled it, it would say something different, but that's how I like to describe it. Basically, I help kids who learn differently than school wants them to learn, which is a lot of children. And sometimes they receive diagnoses of dyslexia or ADHD, or they just struggle in school and they need some help, and their confidence is often usually shaken, unfortunately. So I help to support that.
Oh, okay. So how is this different from like a normal therapy? I guess like counseling, it's two different things.
Yeah. They're different. They're related. But a therapist goes through separate training than what I did. And they specialize in mental health and supporting mental health. And I more support the educational aspects of things, which wellness and their confidence, and there's a lot of other things in it than just academics. But I don't treat mental health issues. That's not in my scope of practice.
So what are some common problems you see students deal with? I think you mentioned like students, like you help with students with dyslexia and stuff like that. So
yeah, so I think the two things that I see most frequently are kids who are diagnosed with dyslexia and or ADHD. And I could talk a lot about diagnoses, and I have a lot of things to say about them. But for the purpose of this, they both describe maybe a cluster of symptoms that kids have. And there are a large group of kids that just really have trouble reading, and they have trouble spelling. And school is really into reading and spelling. So if you're not good at that, that makes learning in school difficult. And, kids get all sorts of messages that they're not smart enough, which is not true. They are very smart. They just really struggle in certain areas. And also what our culture terms ADHD is something that I see a lot of. So trouble focusing in school, and yeah, that can be really hard because the system of school is really rigid, and it's really not designed for the natural neurodiversity that exists within humans.
So you come up with ways to help them, right? So are these like solutions kind of permanent or temporary? Meaning, like, is there a possibility that students once free can encounter these problems again? If the question makes sense.
Yeah, and I think this question relates a lot to our school system, because unfortunately every year school gets harder. And there are new challenges. So my work is really to support them along the journey. And sometimes, kids can get strategies and tips and tools and build skills, and that helps a lot. And then they don't really feel like they need any assistance anymore, which is awesome. And then a lot of people feel like they do want continuous support, because each year it kind of changes what is expected of them. And especially like the jump to college, if they're choosing college, the game changes.
Yeah, I feel like during this time too, because of the pandemic, I'm honestly tired of staying home, and I really want to go back to school, because like the workload, everything's like so different from home than in school. So yeah.
This is a really tough time. for
Yeah, it is. It's super tough. So you have children from different ages?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's cool. So why did you choose this profession? And because I was on your website and I learned that you were a certified yoga teacher and a woman's dance teacher, and later you decided to shift your career towards education.
Yes. Well, I was always interested in education. And that's where I met you, Mega, was teaching at Montessori school. And I was a Montessori kid myself too. So,
Yeah.
So I really liked Montessori. And I very quickly knew for myself that our, you know, standard conventional public education system just, it doesn't work for a lot of kids. And so I was exploring alternatives to be a part of. And for me, what I really found was I like working with kids one-on-one because I can be really present. I can be, you know, I can be really encouraging, and I can really focus on them instead of worrying about what, you know, 20 other kids are doing in the classroom. And so I knew that for myself, and this career really found me. Like, I was like, okay, I want to work one-on-one, but I don't know what. I was always really into neurodiversity. And then I read an article in a newspaper about educational therapy and a program, a grad school program in Oakland. And I was like, that's cool. But I, you know, I don't know if that's like really what I want to do. I want to test it out. And then I found on Craigslist a position working for an educational therapist. And so I did that for a few years and I really loved it. And so then I decided to invest in grad school. And I had a lot of stress about what I was going to do with myself as a grown up. And it just kind of all worked out. Like, maybe not on the timeline I thought it was going to work out on, but it just kind of found me. And it's been a really great career for me.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, Varsha and I are actually in a lot of stress to figure out what we want to be when we're older, because we don't have a specific thing yet. So we're still like figuring out. Next year, we're both going to be seniors. So, and then we're going to go to college. So it's like a really stressful time for us right now.
Oh, I understand. Like in college, even I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I remember I started out as an environmental toxicology major because my chemistry teacher told me I was really good at chemistry. And I really care about the environment. I was like, environmental toxicology, this is so cool. I'm really into making sure my skincare is non-toxic and I'm into organic food. And so I thought it was going to be great. And then I started it and it was so, well, I found it. It's, you know, other people love it, but I found it very depressing because it just was kind of depressing to me.
Yeah.
And also then I started organic chemistry and me and organic chemistry had a very different relationship than like high school chemistry and I. So it didn't feel right. And so I knew it wasn't that, but saying no to that, but not knowing what I was saying yes to was really scary. And what I ended up doing was I said yes to the major that I could graduate on time with and study abroad the most. So I did a lot of studying abroad and I majored in human development. And then I was like, what do I do with that? What do you do with that? And so then I got a job at the Montessori school and eventually I figured it out, but it was not on the same timeline that I wanted it to be all figured out.
Yeah, I think that's something like Marsha and I've been like, a lot of people have been telling me it's okay if you don't know what you want to be yet in college, you can still figure it out. So that's giving me like a more, less stress. I'm like, okay, I still have time to figure it out. I just wanted to know, where did you travel to? Or like, where did you study abroad?
Yeah, so this is another just kind of magical thing that happened. I wasn't planning on studying abroad. And then I got an email and it said, do you love children and do you want to go to Italy? I was like, yes. And so then it must have been like a few weeks later, a month or so after, I was on a plane to Italy, right outside of Venice. I lived there for about, I think, 3.5 months. And I worked with kids on an American military base. So I was like in America, but in Italy. And so I could travel. And because Venice is in northern Italy, I traveled throughout Italy, but then also like Slovenia and Austria and like these other countries that are around there. And I got college credit and it was really, really amazing and totally unplanned. And so after I did that, I was like, this is amazing. Look at the world. There's a whole nother culture, America, ooh, America, like, is not seeing some things right. I disagree with America. Like, just seeing another culture just, like, opened my eyes up, I guess. And I was, like, more studying abroad. So then I applied for something called Semester at Sea, where you get on a ship and you travel around the world.
Wow. I never heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that program is still going. And, you know, we started, like, on the west coast of Mexico, and then we went through Asia, and we went to India, and we went to Egypt, and we went to Croatia and Spain, and then we came back to Florida. So that was really, really cool. And then after that, the next summer, I worked in Germany.
Wow, you've been everywhere in the world. That's so cool. Yeah, I really wanted to.
But a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Do you have a favorite place?
Really. I mean, I just loved it all. Yeah, they all had different things to it. I spent the most time in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to go to Europe.
I want to go to Paris. Like,
it's my dream. So, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So I was reading through your website, and I found that you started the Girls Shine Bright Preteen Circle. So what is it about, and why did you start it?
Yeah, well, I've worked with kids for a long, 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 long time, right? Like at schools, at day camps. I've always loved working with kids. And just there's a certain way of working with kids in our culture that's prevalent, right? It's kind of this more like teacher, student, like the teacher is telling what the kids what to do. And as a child, I never really liked that. I definitely had ideas that I wanted to express, and I was definitely called bossy, and I think a lot of strong, opinionated young women kind of get called bossy, and there's not really a place where I felt like girls could have a different relationship with power. So I kind of view like the type of power we traditionally have in our culture around kids, it's like power over, power under, right? The grown up is in charge, the kid, whatever. And that's just one way of being. And I loved teaching day camp and saying, this is the game we're gonna play, and then leading it, and then facilitating the, you know, and managing. And you know, I've done a lot of that, and that's just one way of doing it. And throughout my own journey with myself, I really wanted to see different ways to be with power and relating. And in a one-on-one setting in my work, I totally can. Like, I tell kids, like, you know, we work for you. Like, this is a partnership. I'm not coming in and like telling you what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I'll bring suggestions and ideas, but you're like, we're partners, right? And so the girls group is kind of an extension of that, just a group, where we play with sharing power and letting the girls lead things and giving them an opportunity to express themselves that maybe they don't get to express, say, in a classroom or in a day camp in traditional settings. So I just really wanted to offer something different. And it's kind of hard to describe, but it's really fun.
It's like really unique that you started it.
Mm-hmm. So who can join? Can like anyone or like how can they join if someone wanted, if anyone was interested?
Well, I'm doing a group now, and I'll do more later. So my website will just have all the information, and I have one for preteens and then one for teens. In person, I actually really like to do mixed ages and have like 8-year-olds and 16-year-olds, because the 8-year-olds, oh my goodness, the 8-year-olds are probably the wisest ones there, really. But they're so in touch with themselves, and you know, they have less of a filter. They're not worried about what everyone's thinking about them. So I actually find that like 8-year-olds have a ton to teach 16-year-olds, even though the 8-year-olds think the 16-year-olds are really cool. So yeah. When we're in person again, I'd love to do more more mixing of the ages.
That's cool. Yeah.
Website, Nicole's website, if you want to.
Yeah, we'll link it down in the description, so please go check that out. Yeah, I think it's really cool how you made like a space, safe space for girls, you know, to like talk their feelings out and make sure they feel safe. So I think that's a great thing to make them less stressed too. So we also wanted to talk about your wisdom series that you that's on your website too. So you want to talk about a little bit. So you want to explain what that is about?
Yeah, so it's totally free. It was like my pandemic project. It actually really helped me. Like, it really helped me feel like purpose, and I was so excited about it. Like, having something to create really, really helped me. So I worked on this, gosh, it seems like a long time ago, but last summer, and I invited some of my mentors and people who have really helped me, like people who have really influenced what I'm doing with kids and how I'm doing things differently. Like, one of my teachers, Suzanne Sterling, she is just amazing. And she taught me something that has stuck with me and I try to offer in my groups. It's that, you know, humans are hardwired for self-expression in community. And it's really rare to actually get that experience, to be free enough to self-express in a safe space. And we are hardwired for it. And it's like, when we don't get that, it's really hard on us. So she's just an example of one teacher. There's a bunch of other awesome teachers, everything from, you know, periods to confidence and rejection, and just things that women who are really amazing entrepreneurs and teachers and leaders, what they want to share, like kind of what they wish they knew when they were a teen. So it's really good for like preteen or teens. The videos are a little long, maybe for like 10-year-olds, but I've had some younger kids actually watch just like parts of it, and there's timestamps and everything. So it's a free offering. And I just wanted to kind of share just the wisdom, because in our culture, I feel like we don't have a lot of space for intergenerational wisdom so much. You know, we're like with people our age often, and kids don't often get to be around their aunties, especially during the pandemic. So this was just kind of a way to share some of their wisdom. And I 100% believe that kids have wisdom too. I didn't include them in the series because there's a lot of, you know, liability things. But kids and teens also have lots of wisdom to share. It's not just the grown-up women.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, we will link that down below, so make sure to check that out. Yeah, I love how you're making like a lot of different types of ways that kids or people can come and help you or seek help, and I think that's really cool how you started so many different platforms. So we wanted to shift the topic towards stress and school, and this year especially has been really hard on us, especially, you know, as high schoolers. Going online has been very stressful for us because the whole work method has changed, the tests and the amount of workload. Yeah, it's a big thing. And so we wanted to know, what are some ways that you recommend to deal with stress on like a day-to-day basis? Because I know like I've been through so much stress. Varsha has been going through so much stress.
Right. So first, I'll just start with one thing. I believe that you're the expert on you. So I might throw some ideas out, but ultimately it's like, it's whatever works best for you. And so what works well for me might not work well for you. So I'm a big fan of kind of being like a self-scientist of like trying things. And at the end of the day, I found it's like, it doesn't really matter what as much, but it's like also like that you actually do it. That's like a big thing too. So for me, exercise is huge. I know that one gets talked about, right? Like whatever modality works for you, whether it's yoga, I find a lot of freedom and expression in dance personally. There's one video in the Wisdom series with one of my teachers who created something called Koya, which is a movement system to help women remember their wise, wild, and free. And her, I love, like that has really helped me personally. And in the video, she leads some dance stuff. That's really cool. So that's what works best for me because I don't like to be told what to do. So I don't do well in a lot of exercise classes. But in Coya, there's a lot of freedom. Like, it's just set up that way. So that works for me. But some people like to have that more structured instruction.
Yeah.
So whatever exercise works.
Yeah, I feel like everyone has like a different way to like cope with stress. I mean, like, if someone does yoga to relieve their stress, and if they tell me to do yoga, like, I might not maybe feel comfortable, right? So I feel like everyone has like a different way to cope with it. So why do you think stress is really prevalent, like, in teenagers? Because I actually go through a lot of stress, and sometimes I have trouble calming down all the time. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I've thought about this a lot. I definitely don't have all the answers because it's like, you know, there's so many different factors. But the one that's coming to me to share is just kind of like a lack of connection to ourselves. I think we're encouraged as a culture to connect outside of ourselves. I'm guilty. I connect to Netflix way more than like I connect inside some days. Especially when I'm stressed, or you know, my phone, right? Like social media. And there's all this connecting outward, and like I know for me a source of stress is like, am I doing it right? Everyone else on Facebook looks like they have it together, and they, you know, they're married and have children, and they're, you know, they're doing this, and I'm on a different path. And so when I connect outside of myself, I find the result is typically more stress and unhappiness. And I'm not saying like connecting with other people, but just, you know, just outsourcing, I don't know how to best say this, but just looking outside of myself, I guess, for answers, that causes me a lot of stress. So I think that's one factor that I see. And the other is, it's just, there's a lack of expression. And I think, so there's this conscious parent psychologist named Dr. Shefali Sabari. And she has a quote that I really like. It's like, this generation will tolerate nothing less than co-creation. I forget the exact words, but that's the essence, is that like this specific generation like wants co-creation. And that's not how school works. So I think the societal structures aren't really in alignment with kids and teens this generation. And I think that that can cause a lot of stress and pressure for a lot of people. I know school caused me a lot of stress, honestly, unnecessarily so when I look back on it in retrospect. Like, there's a documentary called The Race to Nowhere. I don't know if either of you have seen it, but it used to be on Netflix. I don't think it's on Netflix anymore. But it, you know, it just showcases how like we're racing and we're taking all these AP classes and we're doing all these extracurriculars. It's like, where are you going?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's exhausting. Like,
it is.
Like, I have so much, I'm still recovering from burnout that I have from like high school. And I was a really good student. And it came at a really big cost, honestly. That's why I dove into everything that I do now.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, I know people, who take like, you know, 5 APs and then have like extra, like 5 different clubs and leadership. And like, I'm like, how do you do this? Cause like, I'm struggling with like, you know, just like 3 APs and like a couple, like no extracurriculars. And like, I'm like, is it all really worth it? You know, to like put yourself through so much stress. And I'm like, this is so crazy, right? And like how hard many kids are going through. So also like our generation, social media is a huge part, like Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat's a huge thing, and that can also cause more stress for us. So is there like any way to work around this without having to disassociate oneself from media? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. So again, what's coming, you take with a grain of salt, is I think one perspective, if you can have perspective of what's going on. I know when I, like, okay, I was like the first generation of Facebook when you had to have like a college email, to log in. I found myself thinking in Facebook status updates. I'm like, oh, I'm like living my life. And I'm like, oh, right, Nicole. Like, I'm like, what am I even, like, this is sick. So, you know, everyone has their own relationship. Some people disconnect completely from social media because it's just really hard to separate. I still use social media and I try to have a perspective on what it is and give myself breaks. But I don't completely have it figured out. And there's something else I wanted to say. I think the other thing is nurturing connection to yourself. Like if you're just focusing always on the screen, like that, that doesn't help, but then balancing it with connection to yourself, because social media is not going away and it is a way of connection.
Yeah.
And I think having someone, and this is where I think the intergenerational wisdom I wish could come in more, is like, maybe if you have an aunt or a cousin or someone to talk to and get another reference point than just your own perspective when you're like, look, all of my other friends are like getting into Stanford. I don't know, whatever it is, that someone can help you, can help you through that.
Yeah.
I think social media has like had a huge impact on like everyone. I think like, I don't know, do you guys know Jennifer Lawrence, right? The actress
who played
Yes.
She doesn't actually, I was kind of surprised because she doesn't even have any social media accounts. And I was reading an article, and so it was I think someone like was saying that she doesn't have any social media account, but she's like, you know, seeing these stuff that's she has like an account, but it's like, you know, it's not her name. It's like she's kind of like under a facade, kind of like a disguise. So she was saying like, I think she spoke in some interview saying, I don't do anything. Like, I don't write, I just see things and then, you know, react instead of like commenting and stuff. And so I just wanted to, so shifting the topic, I kind of related to that. I think it's also because a lot of people use, some people don't use social media because, you know, they're insecure. Like, you know, like if you see someone like in a bikini or something like that, when I see it, I'm like, oh, I feel insecure. I would never be able to do that. So what are some ways to overcome insecurities that a young individual often faces?
That is a great question. I'm still working on my insecurities. I don't have this all figured out.
Yeah.
But I do think, I know for me in my own life, is having someone to turn to and talk to about, whether that's a friend or an aunt or a therapist or a mentor or a counselor. But I definitely bring my things that come up to other people and get support, because I know for me, it's too hard to do myself. And sometimes I need reflections. I just need reflections from other people that I know, like, and trust. And that could be through family or, you know, someone that you work with, like the therapist or a mentor or a coach or a counselor.
Yeah, exactly. Is it possible to not feel insecure about something? Like,
well, I only know my experience. So in my experience is it's not, I haven't yet to experience that it's not possible to feel insecurity, but there are all kinds of people and minds in the world. So perhaps some people don't feel insecurities. I don't know anyone, but maybe they are out there.
Yeah. So how do you think students can take time for self-care with their, you know, busy schedules? Do you have any like tips for us to like, you know, practice self-care?
Yeah, no, it's tough because we're all busy and racing to nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the easiest ones for me to build in are morning or evening rituals of just things that I do. Mornings might be harder if you have to get somewhere early. I don't. That's one perk of my job. I don't start work until like 11 a.m. So I've got a very nice morning. So anything building in, whether that's mindfulness, meditation. I try to do a meditation practice every morning. I did a kind of a modified, I did one lying in bed, like sleeping and daydreaming. Normally, like I get up and I do a fuller practice with some body-based practices. I really like Qigong and like Qi washing and different practices like that. But then something that you could do at night, maybe it is if you like yoga. But something that you're sending to your body, your mind, and your spirit of like, I value you and your wellness, and I'm going to invest some time in you. And maybe the morning and evenings doesn't work for other people. I find them easier. Maybe it's more like making sure you only put really healthy foods in your body. Whatever resonates for a person, and that you'll actually do is. Yes, most helpful, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just going to add on to what you said, Nicole, that I think everyone should practice self-care because, you know, it's like a really stressful time. And high schoolers are also like, I'm also like really stressed out, like doing tests online. You have to study some of them. You can't use your notes. I mean, like I'm taking two APs and it's already stressful. So I think it's like, you know, it's important, like you should practice self-care, like do meditation, you know, like we need to like, you know, relax ourselves, like relax our mind. And yeah. So.
Yeah. You know, one of my brilliant kiddos that I get to work with, we were talking about school and she's like, yeah, schools don't really care about your mental wellness. Exactly. They're about mental consumption, right? Consuming information and getting it back out. So school isn't going to do the caring for you. So it's up to you. Exactly. And that's what's hard. It's like, yeah, no one is going to do this for you. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to, you're the one in charge.
Yeah. You have to take the initiative to do it you need self-care. Cause I know like if I've been, you know, worked up too much, you know, like I can't focus anymore. Like, if I'm studying too much, at one point I'll be like, I look at my stuff and like, it's all like messed up in my head. Like, I'm like, wait, what am I even like doing? Cause I'm so stressed. Right. So I just like, you know, I like to go outside, you know, go for a walk or something. That's like, that's how I practice self-care. Yeah. Maybe like exercising, going for a walk, talking to my friends a lot and doing podcasting. I think we've mentioned this so many times, but podcasting is like probably one of the biggest ways that relieves my stress. So I'm really happy that we started
podcasting.
Like creative outlets or creative projects. Mm-hmm. Like I really believe it's like humans are here to create, not be created. It is mm-hmm. just my own, especially kids, right? But like the way our school system is designed is you get projects that you don't get to really choose and you're just told to do them. And so having a creative outlet and a place to be creative, whether that's through art or dance or podcasting or writing mm-hmm. or whatever, but somewhere where you're expressing your unique talents and capabilities, I think is so important. And I wish we had more of that in our school system, but right now a lot of schools don't. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of up to you to do projects like this and make sure you get it and feed it to me, like to feed your, yeah, to feed your creative self.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, schools don't really help you with that. Actually, yeah, my school has been like working towards it. We have a thing called the Wellness Center, actually, that it's a unique thing that our schools did. It's a center, like an office, and anytime you feel stressed, you can just, you know, leave your class, ask your teacher for permission, and then you can go to the Wellness Center, and you can do anything you want. You can sit, you can color. If you want to talk to someone, you can talk to someone. You can just take a mental break if you need to, and it's been very, I haven't gone there yet, but I know people who went there, and they said it's really calming and relaxing for them. Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that's all that we have. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Actually, can I ask you two some questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I've been working on a podcast for like a year. I got distracted with my wisdom series. Oh, yeah. I did that instead. which is actually very similar, but I got distracted a little bit. And so I know for me with podcasting, I kind of experienced a lot of doubts and mm-hmm. questions and, like, you know, really thoughts inside my head, really discouraging yeah. from doing this project. Yeah. And yeah. so I'm just curious if anything came up for you like that and how you worked through it to ultimately still offer this idea that you wanted to birth in this podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, honestly, I didn't even know what a podcast is before Mega told me. And so Mega was like, oh, why don't we just start a podcast? I was like, what's a podcast? Like, I've heard of it, but I'm like, I don't know. It's just, I thought it was just some boring, you just listening to some lecture, right? But then, yeah, so I was like, yeah, for sure, let's start one, right? And then, like, we did, like, a few episodes. It was just us talking, and it was all on audio, and then we did some episodes with our sisters, which mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I have a sister, too, so we did an episode like that. And then I joined the Facebook group. I think, Nicole, you were also in the group. That's how you met Mega when I said the
request. Oh, yeah, yeah, she's yeah. podcast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I joined that She podcast group, and then I told Mega, like, oh, you know what, I'll just put, like, oh, can we have some guests over, like, a request or comment, and let's just wait and see if anyone, you know, comments, and maybe, I don't know, we don't know if they'll join, but we can wait, right? And so I put that, and then we waited for, like, 2 days, and then, like, I looked at Facebook, and I got, like, 5 notifications pop up, so I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And so I looked, and then I read, and, like, a lot of people wanted to, they're like, yeah, for sure, we can talk about mental health, we can talk about, you know, these topics, and, like, an actress, like, a doctor, so many people came, and then I told Mega, like, I texted Mega instantly, like, oh, we got a lot of people to, you know, who's willing to talk to us. And so Mega was also really happy too. And then, so we just started from there. And then now it's like, everyone's liking it. And, like, we've been, like, like, for the first few episodes, we struggled a lot, you know, like, speaking wise, and, like, we're stuttering here and there. But then, like, I think as we practice speaking, like, we got better at it. And I think, yeah, Mega, like, I know Mega was also a shy person too before too.
Yeah.
Like, now she's, like, really improved. She's just like, I can see the improvement.
Yeah, her. I think, like, one thing about podcasting is definitely I've gained more public speaking skills, and I've been more confident. Like, that's for sure. Like, I can see myself, like, I'm willing, you know, I'll talk first. Like, usually someone has to talk first and then I will talk, but usually now I'm the one who, you know, talks first and starts the conversation. And this podcast, you know, really helped me gain that skill. So yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, starting the podcast, I didn't know Russian. I didn't really know if this would, you know, go anywhere. It was just, like, a quarantine thing. Everyone was doing it. So I was like, okay, let's just do it. But, you know, people actually started liking our podcast and listening to them, and it grew, like, and it was a passion for us now. Yes. So you're actually also starting a podcast?
Podcast, yeah.
Yes. It's about neurodiversity. And I haven't mapped out. I just haven't yet started recording. It's still in progress.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll make sure to listen to it.
I'll
once
it's description, so
yeah,
it comes out, check it out, episode
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think good. Yeah, so thank you so much again, Nicole, for joining us. It was I had like a fun time, and I learned a lot, so
thank you for joining our episode. We learned more about you know, how to cope with stress, and, like, you know, why stress is a problem, and I had an interesting talk too.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
As always, thanks for listening to this episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and stay tuned for more. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more fun and entertaining episodes. Special guests will be aired on YouTube, and other collabs will be on other broadcasting platforms. Visit our website, megaversion.com, and email us at megaversion2020@gmail.com if you have any media or inquiry requests. Feedback is always appreciated.
Have a great day, everyone. It's me, Varsha.
And Mega.
Signing off.